Well, what an introduction. Hallelujah. What a great topic to be doing. I don't know if I can see anyone. You might just have to give me a little bit. That's great. Thanks, Jim. Oh, there's people out there. Hallelujah. What a great topic. I mean, this has been going for 4 or 5 weeks, and I'm sure everything's been said, so I'm just up here to remind you all and encourage you, and I must admit it's stirring in my heart as well. I mean, we've probably gone through this particular thrust or this topic many times through the last year, and it's been really encouraging. I was at a couple of prayer meetings during the week. I was at one prayer meeting on the Monday night. There's a whole lot of people eating. They were meeting to pray for a particular purpose. I actually went to two groups that night. One group was meeting, and they were purposefully wanting to be reaching out, fellowshipping around the Lord, but also, like Ben said, they wanted their hearts to be stirred to reach out with the gospel, just empowered with that power. And then I went to another group. I went home, and there was a whole lot at our house, and they were another group, all involved in a particular purpose and a group that they had in their hearts that they wanted to reach with the gospel, and they were praying for that. Then a couple of days after that, I came to a prayer meeting here in the church, and people were passionately sharing about how they were reaching out, sharing the gospel. And one of the men that was here was so great to hear, Howard, who goes up to the jail each week, just had the most fantastic story about a guy, some big, burly, older guy that just wept in tears as he just prayed with this guy and led him to the Lord. It was just fantastic. And everywhere you go, I feel a stirring in my heart. I feel like we're mobilizing. I feel our hearts are being stirred. And we are not ashamed of the gospel. And the verse that this comes from that everyone's been sharing on the nights here for the last while says, and I just wonder how Paul said this. Sometimes we can read this, but I wonder how Paul said it. I just wonder if we could just picture, how did Paul say it? I'm sure he didn't get up and say, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, you know. You know, I could just picture him. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. I just, you know, I could imagine if I was in that room when Paul first said it or penned that, he would have had such passion, wouldn't he? Such passion. You could feel his conviction. You could feel his confidence. It just gripped him, didn't it? He had experienced the gospel. Jesus had met him on a road, blinded his eyes, started to say to him, what are you doing? It is hard for you to kick against the pricks, or whatever the word was, you know. He said, you know, this is hard what you're doing. You're persecuting me. And he turned him around and he believed that Jesus was the Lord, the Son of the living God, and he was born again. Life was changed. And from that day forth, he was passionate about the gospel because it changed his life. It turned his life around. And Jesus from that day called him to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. And his whole life was a journey that we're enjoying the blessing of it today. We are enjoying the blessing today. We are not Jews. And it wasn't just for them. It was for us as well. First to the Jews, then to the Gentiles. And that was his calling. And it consumed him. It was his boast. You know, he said, I'm not ashamed. He made his boast about it. He said, I'll boast in nothing else but the cross. Kept talking about it. It was just the passion of his life. It was the fire in his belly. It was everything to him. He was a man that was driven. And despite all opposition, how much opposition have we ever had? You know, how much have we had this fire? I mean, I'm just feeling like as we're talking about it more, as we're preaching it more, as we're praying about it more, as we're doing it more, something in us is beginning to kick over, isn't it? Do you feel that? Something's starting to fire up, you know, and not that much opposition I've had yet. I went to work, went up to where I work a little bit each week, and I went up there and someone came up to me at work and said, oh, when is the Christmas event on at the church? I want to come, you know, wants to come to church, doesn't know the Lord, and just, it's not hard. I'm not getting any opposition. Paul had opposition. He had persecution. He was imprisoned. He was run out of town. He was laughed in Athens. I've been laughed at once or twice, but he was laughed at on Mars Hill. The Greeks thought he was a fool. The Jews took great offence at him. His own brethren took great offence at him. They tried to take his life. He was flogged 5 times, it says, with 40 lashes. You'd think you'd be satisfied that Jesus just forgave your sins, wouldn't you? Just say, well, you know, this is good. I got my ticket. I'm happy, you know. But something burned in this guy, didn't it? You know, you just read about him. Beatings 3 times with rods, stoned. It said he was exposed to death again and again. Shipwrecks. Now that I don't know how I'd go. I don't even like getting out on a boat. Shipwrecks. Danger. What drives a man to endure such suffering and keep going? You know, what drives him? He wanted to proclaim this message, you know. Just, it burned in him. Why? Because he was convinced that this message of grace, this message that his righteousness was no longer by works, but it was a work of grace, this he wanted to proclaim it because he knew that this message, and only this message, was the power of God for salvation. He knew that nothing that he did mattered anymore. Everything, his righteousness was going to be based on what God had done through Jesus, not on what he had to do himself. And he was putting his faith in that. Anyway, I was thinking about what do I share with all this being shared in recent weeks. I was here over the last number of weeks and the messages have been so great. I thought, what else can I add? And this little thought came to me. I trust it was the Lord. And I'm in a good group that can explain to me what this means because I'm getting a little older. And it's X Factor. Anyone tell me what X Factor means? Maybe a teacher. Adrian, what does X Factor mean? See if I got it right. It is a TV show. It is a TV show that probably I've never watched. But it comes. But what does the kind of saying mean? What does it mean? Something exceptional. Yep. Anyone else want to add to that? I'm open to. Stand out from the pack. Yep. Extraordinary. I'll read you a definition I found. It might not be everything you want, but it does say that it's a quality, it says, that you cannot describe that makes someone special, which is what we're saying, and that's probably why this TV show got its name. It's an unknown factor. You know, you often used to see when you did maths, you know, the X was the unknown part that you fill in. But this is the quote I really liked. It said, a variable in a given situation that could have the most significant impact on the outcome. The X factor. Now, I started to think, now, why, if this is the Lord, is he dropping into me? Because I was really praying. I thought, Lord, I want something fresh. And I felt he say, X factor. Preach about the X factor. And at first I thought, well, that must be the gospel. It's the X factor. But, you know, it said it's a variable. Now, when Paul said this, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God, he didn't think it was a variable. He thought it was totally predictable and certain and dependable, and he knew it was the power of God. And that's so true. You know, beginning when Jesus came, it says the time has come The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the gospel. And it said, from that time until he comes again, and the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our Lord and his Messiah, and he will reign forever. Between that point when he first came and the point where he returns in this gospel age, one thing is certain, and it's the power of the gospel. And it's our time to preach it. It's our time to proclaim it. That's what we as a church and every church is here for in this age. We're waiting for the age to come, but in this age now, our job is to proclaim the gospel. Paul said God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he's committed to us the message of reconciliation. That message that needs to get out there, that's the power of God to save men, that predictable, certain power is commissioned to us. You know, I really loved watching a series of films called The Lord of the Rings. I love epic fantasy that's just the big picture, you know, like all about what mankind's about and what life's about, all wrapped up in some big series or something like that. But, you know, we are living in the epic battle for the souls of men right in our workplace, right when we walk down the street in the shops. We might be caught seeing some, we sort of don't see it, but if we look up, we are in the middle of the epic battle in the gospel age when God is wanting to reconcile men to himself, and we've got such a big part about it. And Paul said there's some things that are predictable and some things that are variable. And as far as he was concerned, the gospel was predictable. If you preach it, something will happen. There's the power in the gospel. But there's an X factor. There's an unpredictability to what happens. And I'll read you from Mark. It's what Jesus said. It says, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up. The seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. All by itself. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest is come. The certain part is the all by itself. Regardless of the energy we put in, when we plant that seed, it will grow. The gospel is like seed. It has inherent power, and it will do a work, and it is guaranteed. It is guaranteed. That's why Paul said, I'm not ashamed of it, because it's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. It's got to be a connection, you know, but it's powerful. They have to believe it. It's supernatural. It's spiritual. It says, though he does not know how. We don't understand exactly how this all works. We just know that it's power and that it works. A small seed sown into the heart of man can produce a total change and a regeneration of life, and they can be totally transformed by the power of God. Peter said, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. So what is the X factor? Well, in another parable, we read this. It says, listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came up and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good ground. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, and some 100 times. The X factor going by my definition, the variable that could have the most significant impact on the outcome is the condition of the soil, isn't it? It's the condition of the soil and the type of soil. It could be, we've all seen that. We can go out, share the gospel, and we can feel like, look, it's had no effect. But we do not know the condition of a man's heart. We don't know the soil that we're putting it in. We just know that it's powerful and it has inherent power, and the Spirit of God will testify to it. God says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. We know that if we proclaim it, it will do a work in hearts, and some good soil will be there and will respond. Our confidence is in the seed. It's in the power of the gospel. It's not in ourselves. We don't know exactly how it all works. We just know it works. But there's an X factor. It's the hearts of men that it's been sown to. The God factor is predictable, dependable, and it'll never change. The Holy Spirit hovers over the gospel when it's preached. He's hanging around. He's hanging around. Soon as it's proclaimed, something begins to happen. There's a spiritual dimension going on. I know it because it happened to me. I remember the first time someone preached the gospel to me as a 19-year-old uni student, just going one way, having no thought about God much, and someone proclaims the gospel. Suddenly what happens? Suddenly there's this thing going on inside. Suddenly there's this drawing. Suddenly I'm having all sorts of thoughts about God that goes on and on for about 2 years till I give my life to Jesus. And it has power. The Spirit of God will draw people. He will bear witness. But if we never preach the gospel, if we never sow, we will never reap. That's the bottom line. Our part to sow is the X factor. You know, there's the difference between where we are now and what we have in our hearts that we want to see our town reach for the gospel and God transform them. There's an X factor, and it's us. And it's our willingness to step outside, to just step out of ourselves a bit and preach the gospel and be like Paul, totally convinced in its power, totally not ashamed, totally bold, and say, God, I will proclaim the gospel. That's the X factor. Paul said, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everybody. If they call on him from a sincere heart, they will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? Sowing seeds is what we need to do. We need to tell somebody. And if we're telling them, I mean, we've had so many words lately. I so enjoyed Joe a few weeks back about going to the other side and telling our story. Pretty simple, isn't it? Just step over to the other side. I've heard that in prayer meetings. Someone was praying one night in a prayer meeting just around that whole thought that we want to get out of ourselves. We want to go to the other side and we want to tell our story. They often say that Francis of Assisi said, preach the gospel at all times, use words if necessary. I used to like that saying. It stresses the importance of preaching the gospel with actions. But it almost implies that our actions are more important than our words. And it's just wrong. It's just wrong. It's apparently... he never uttered those words, I'm told. And the second thing is, it's impossible to preach the gospel without words. You have to tell somebody. It is not good deeds, it's good news, and it needs to be preached. And it is very important that our actions match what we're saying. I'm not belittling that in any way, but the gospel has to be preached. Our actions will make the gospel attractive. And if our actions are inconsistent with what we proclaim, it'll be an obstacle. But the gospel has to be told. Bonnke said, the gospel is not an option, it's our only hope. It's an ultimatum. Repent and believe. There's an urgency, there's an emergency happening, and it must be preached. The gospel, he said, is like a medicine bottle with a cork on it. Unless you remove the cork, the patient will die, even if the medicine is right beside the patient. We need to tell it. So I'm just working on my X factor. That's what I'm working on. When Ben sent this out, he said, you've got to talk about some stories about getting out there, making sure you're doing it, That's the challenge. And I've had some events over recent weeks and months, and I'm determined that I am praying for doors, and I'm praying that when God opens doors, I'm going through. I don't want to miss the chance. I've been reading verses of late how, Paul talked about his prayer was that God would open a door. I believe so much we need to be praying. We need to have this firing in us that we're not ashamed, that we're confident. We need to be willing to do what we're called to do. And we need to be not like Josie said a few months back, we're going to scare everyone. But we need to be passionate and praying that God would open a door for us. In Acts it said, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how he'd opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. They were praying. They were ready to do all that God had called them to do, but God opened a door. In Corinthians 2, verse 12, it says, Paul said, how I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ and found that the Lord had opened a door for me. He went somewhere. He went out ready to preach. He went out ready to do it. And when he was out there, he found the Lord had opened a door for him. I wonder if we'd step out and be ready to do it, not ashamed, prepared, and that's what's on our agenda. God would open a door for us. They got going, and in their going, God opened a door. Paul said in another verse, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message. We've got a message to share. We need to pray, God, open a door, so that we may proclaim Christ for which I am in chains. In Ephesians 6, it said, pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I may fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Even chains couldn't stop him. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. The early church continually prayed for boldness. They continually prayed that God would open a door for them, and when it happened, they never pulled back. They worked on their X factor. And that's just my encouragement tonight. There's no X factor with the gospel. The gospel is predictable, it's certain, it has power, and it will change lives. You know that. I know that because it changed you and it changed me. We've experienced the power of the gospel. We know it's the power of God unto salvation. But there's an X factor in those that we proclaim to. It's there. We don't know what soil we're sowing to, but all we know that if we don't sow, we will never reap. But we need to work on our X factor, and that's our willingness to be bold and to be out there proclaiming this great message. God bless you.